We're having today really not the yard site, but this is in honor of the yard site of Rav David Zatzal, which was Motzoi Shabbos. He was Nifter in 1941, which means that this would be the 76th yard site, I believe. So what I want to do something is a little maybe, I don't know, unusual, but a little different than to be expected, is I don't really want to talk about Rav David. We have Baruch Hashem, two other speakers that can talk about Rav David, Choshevah speakers. I want to talk about Answer Akasha. Talk a little bit about Rav David. And that is, why in the world are we making a asifa, a matriarch people to come from Boca, Mevato the Seder, whatever, to commemorate the yard site of Rav David, 76 years later. Like, why? Rav David isn't your Rebbe. He's not your Rebbe's Rebbe. Okay, he was your Rebbe's Rebbe's Rebbe. Okay? So, if that's the case, so why don't you make a yard site for your Rebbe's 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 Rebbe? Like, you know, go back, we don't have an asifa for the Chafetz Chaim's yard site. We don't have for the Granat. We don't have for the altar. We don't have for Rav Yisrael. And you can keep on going back. You know, there's a chain, a Mesaira. There's Rav David into the altar, and the altar to Simchazizo, and Simchazizo to Rav Yisrael, and Rav Yisrael to Rav Zundo, and Rav Zundo to Chaim Velo. So that's like yard sites for everybody in the chain. Keep on going. So what in the world to make a yard site for Rav David? What, Rav David was a bigger tzaddik than the Chafetz Chaim and the Granat? Even the brainwashed Chafetz Chaim people will not say that, I hope. So the question is, why in the world, Rav David, you have to make a yard site for? That's the question I want to relate to. I want to try and explain why we consider it important. It's not just a continuation, because in Queens they made a yard site because it was Rav Shiva's father. Okay, also he started the yeshiva in Queens, so they made a yard site for Rav David. So we're just continuing minig avoseinu biyadeinu. I think there's a little bit of a more of a reason, I hope. So I have a little bit of to answer the question. It's a little complicated. It'll take me a little while to answer the question, but we'll hopefully get there. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, this is Rav Shiva Zatzal Shmuz. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's really, I was learning it today with the fellows. We were learning Chafetz Chaim Seder. The Gemara brings in Sanhedrin Yud Aleph, Maisa B'Isha Acha Shabos, the Beis Medrash or Mayor. There was a Maisa, a woman came to the Beis Medrash or Mayor. Amar O Rebbe, she said, Echa Michem, one of the Bnei Yeshiva, Ki Dashtani Bebiya. One of you married me with Bia. I don't know from who, but one of you people, and that's obviously marrying a woman with Bia, especially you don't even know, she doesn't even know who he is, that's pretty bad. So what happened? Omar Rameyer because of a gut crisis. So Rameyer says, it was me, okay. And he ran ahead and wrote her a get. Vinasana, Omdo Kasu Kuna Vinasana. So all the Talmidim, Rav Meir was mevaz himself, that I was the one. So they all, each one vowed him, maybe I was the one. No, I was the one. So everyone gave her a get. Ask the Gemara, V'Rav Meir me'echa gemirida. Where did Rav Meir learn to do such a thing? To take the blame that it was him when it really wasn't him, obviously. So the Gemara says he learned from Shmuel HaKatan. And whatever the Maisa, we'll skip it, Kitzer. Shmuel Katan, they asked, where did he learn? He learned from Shechaniah ben Yechiel. It's a pasuk in Ezra. And they said, where did he learn? He learned from Yahushua. And where did Yahushua learn? Yahushua learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because there was a maisa with the, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't tell Yahushua who went ahead and took the property from that there was usher to take. So they So they learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's the Gemara. So the Marsha has a kasha here. Why does the Gemara have to say? He has a few kashas. But the... why does the Gemara have to say that each person learned from the other one? Rameyer learned from Shmuel HaKatan, Shmuel HaKatan learned from Shechaniah ben Yechiah, Shechaniah ben Yeshua, Shua learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just say straight, if apparently there's a limud from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so say, where did Rameyer learn it from? He also learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a raya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever from them, however the raya is. It's like Yeshua can learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Yeshua, or Rameyer learned from Yeshua. So the Marsha says as follows. He says an amazing thing, the Marsha. The Marsha says that what Rameyer did logically is not so pashut. In other words, you need a raya. Without a raya, you couldn't do it because it's pegam in gadlus ha'adam. To go ahead and take the blame for something you didn't do, not so pashut. So, without a raya, you can't do it what Rameyer did. So what? So he says, therefore, Mishimochi taught us to call Echad Gomar Mimais Sedarish Afanav. Each one learned from the door in front of him. But not from the two generations in front of him. Why? Because if he would have wanted to learn out from two generations, but the previous generation did not do it, so then Rameyer went to, in other words, if Shmuel HaKatan didn't practice this, even though Rameyer would have had a raya from the earlier generations, still Rameyer would not have practiced it. That's what he says in Marsha. In other words, there was a chain. There was Rameyer got it from his rabbi, from Shmuel HaKatan. And each person got it from going back generations. But if we could have pointed in the middle that someone would have done differently, then Rameyer wouldn't have done it. He has a raya from Yeshua. He has a raya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, you can't argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yeshua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yeshua is the best raya. But if his Rebbe didn't do it, he wouldn't have done it. Why not? He knows it's right. Right? I got a muchruch shmooze. I'm Rameyer. Let's say Rameyer. Rameyer has a muchruch shmuz. He can learn out from Yeshua, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Ezra, from Shechaniah ben Yechiel. He has a muchruch shmuz that this is the right behavior. But his Rebbe, Shmuel HaKadosh, didn't do that. Okay? My Rebbe is wrong. I don't know. But I got a raya. So says the Marsha, no. He would have followed his Rebbe and not the earlier generations. If it's a machlokes between your Rebbe and the earlier generations, obviously that halacha is like the earlier generations. If you have a machlokes between the earlier your Rebbe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? You have a raya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we paskin like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the answer is that you cannot have a really conclusive raya. As much as we say, it's a secret, as much as we say a shmuz is mukhruch, there is no such thing as a shmuz that's mukhruch. Because you never know. Something could be changed over the years. It's a different door, different situation. It's a different matzav. We don't know exactly the information, what happened there. It seems to you that it's mukhruch. But is it really? Maybe you're missing information. Maybe times change. The concept is that one of the major hashgavas or shiva is that we don't jump generations when it comes to Messiah. Messiah has to be from your Rebbe. Right? The classical example. The Rambam was a doctor. Right? Okay, so let's all become doctors. Why are we in yeshiva? Rambam was a doctor. Why aren't we doctors? Right? You'll find some God that'll study secular studies. I don't know. Why don't we all study secular studies? I have a raya brura that it's right. Oh, this gadol did it. Right? You go back, whatever. You can. Why don't you can bring rayas? They bring rayas to it. We were in Eretz Yisrael, so there's a new. They find they're following the derech achinuch in the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah that says what ages you're supposed to start learning. Different ages. There's this age of Torah. There's a Mishnah, Gemara. Okay, that's fine. It's a beferish a Mishnah. It's a Marami Prague has a derech. He writes how the derech of learning. So let's follow that derech. So at least the Rashiva Shita was, and this is what we is that we don't follow the Mesaira of jump generations. Because we even though it seems Mukhruch, and it would qualify for a Shmuz to be Mukhruch, but by definition it's not Mukhruch. You say the Chafetz Chaim knew Pshat the Rambam better than you know Pshat the Rambam. And if the Chafetz Chaim wasn't a doctor, then that means that for some reason or another, you're not supposed to be a doctor, or at least it's not the highest madrega. Because Chaim wasn't a doctor, it means that the highest madrega is not to be a doctor. And the same thing goes back, which means that the only way that we connect to know 100% sure that our Torah is MS is because we get it clearly, Baal Peh, from the previous generation who got it from his Rebbe. Right? The moment you start figuring out, you say a chiddush, my derech in learning is based on a chiddush. I figured it out. I got it from a mukhluk shmuz. Then, by definition, you can't be sure it's right. It's 90%, 95%, 98%, but it wouldn't stand up against a real Mesorah. So therefore, if Rav Meir had a stira between what his Rebbe did and what his Rebbe's Rebbe did, he wouldn't say my Rebbe's Rebbe was greater. He would follow his Rebbe. I got to have a kasha on my Rebbe's Rebbe. A kasha. So you have a kasha on Tosfos. You got a kasha. But you don't go ahead and break from what you learned from your Rebbe, because what you learned from your Rebbe is more guaranteed to be true. That was Rashiva Shmuz. What is that? How does that connect? So on a simple level, it means that having a clear-cut Messira is our guarantee that the derech that we follow, we can feel a certain confidence that it's correct. Because we know, especially those who are close with Rashiva, they know how the Rashiva was mamish, almost to the point of ridiculousness, worried about Messiah. He went ahead, things at Rashiva, we had so many things we wanted. They wanted to change the Shmuz day from Wednesday to Tuesday because there was a whole problem with the there was this release time with public school. Rashiva would have refused, wouldn't change it at first. For years, he couldn't change because Rav David gave his shmuzim on Wednesday. They had to jump through hoops to work things out because we can't change the day of the shmuz. Like even the littlest changes, the things about the hakbada that the Rashiva had on the Messiah from Rav David, and that was apparently you got from the Rashiva and from all the other Talmidim too. That was from Rav David himself at this to an extreme hakbada on Messiah. So knowing that what we're being taught comes from our Rebbe, who learned from his Rebbe, is what gives us a certain added confidence that we know that it's a true Messiah. Okay. But there's a stronger point, and I think it goes together. And I think this is very important. There is the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Says Moshe kibul Torah miSinai Musra leYoshua. So there's a Rashi. Rashi says, now supposedly this is not Rashi, but it says on the Pirkei Avos Rashi. It's apparently a different Rishon. They say that Rashi on Pirkei Avos is not Rashi, but it's officially Rashi on Pirkei Avos. Rashi says, "What's pshat Moshe kibul Torah to Yeshua? Moshe kibul Torah saying Moshe to Yeshua. Why Yeshua? Shelo ratzah the Moshe, because he only wanted to give it. In other words, to be the manig in Klai Yisrael. And the misha memis asma mimina urav ba'odeh hachma. Nikona shem to ba'odam. You had to have two requirements to become the next manig of Klai Yisrael." You had a memis atzmo min urab odei Torah. You had to kill yourself, obviously figuratively, in learning the hasmada in Torah, and from when your youth, and Kana Shem Tov, and you had a good name, Vizeh Yoshua, and Yoshua had these two requirements. And he ends up, the Av Al Bisha Kosev Al Pinchas, Torah Emes Hoye Befiu. So what it's mashmah with Rashi is that Rashi has a kasha. Why did Moshe go ahead and give the Torah to be the Moser, that the manik of Klai Yisrael is Yoshua? He should have given it to Pinchas. After all, there's a pasuk by Pinchas, Torah Emes Hoye Befiu, which is mashmah. It's hard to say, but that's definitely the mashmos of it, Rashi. That Rashi is saying that it came to, as far as Torah Emes, it's shaykh that Pinchas was either equal or greater than Yoshua. That's what it's saying. That's his kasha. What are you giving it to Yoshua for? Give it to Pinchas. It says Torah Emes al Hashayno. So that means that Pinchas had some ma'ida, or equal or greater than Yoshua. You should give it to Pinchas. Torah says, but Yeshua had these two ma'idas. And the second ma'ida that Kana Shem Tov, I assume Pinchas also had Kana Shem Tov. So it sounds like the difference was that Yeshua had the ma'ida, Shoyememis Atzma Min Ura V'Ode Atai Hachma. That Yeshua was known to have this super hasmada, Lo Yomesh Mitocha Ohel. It was some kind of weird, strange, manna hasmada. He mamish never stopped learning for a second. So even though Pinchas, I'm sure, never was over on Bittul Torah, they say the Gra kept a record of how much Bittul Torah in his life, and he was, I think, less than a minute, an hour, I don't remember, but it's just a few minutes, his whole life of Bittul Torah. I'm sure Pinchas had very little Bittul Torah, but on the Darga of Yeshua's Hasmada, that it was just a different Darga. Yeshua was low, the Torah's made that he never left the Oyo. So therefore, he had this ma'ida of shoya meimis atzma min urav ba'odei hachma. It was meimis atzma and it was min urav, from youth. So pashup shad, it doesn't make sense. Why is that important to be the manik? You're appointing the manik now. You're appointing the manik now. It should be based on the fact, who's the biggest Talmud Chacham now? We say, as far as who's the biggest Talmud Chacham now, we have a competition between Yeshua and Kaleh and Pinchas, and it's very shayach that Pinchas is equal or greater. Pinchas has a pasuk, Torah Emes Hoye Befiu. So I pick the manik, I should pick the biggest Talmud Chacham. I'm going to go for Pinchas. See, yeah, but you know what? Yeshua has a minor. Uh-oh, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, Yoshua was plugging away, and maybe Pinchas wasn't at the same level of Asmada. So what? So why should that affect who I'm going to pick as a manik? Well, Yoshua is kind of ashamed of. I know, maybe, I assume Pinchas was too. So, but even that, why is this relevant? So what I think Pshat is that Rishivi used to always say over, there's a Rabbeinu Yaina. Rabbeinu Yaina says, and not Rabbeinu Yaina, I'm sorry, Sefer HaYosher. Sefer HaYosher says that if someone gives me Musar, HaYachacham Oimer, if someone gives me Musar, and I want to know if the person was sincere, totally sincere. So there's a simple test. Did I accept his Musar? He says, if his Musar went into my heart, so oker ki b'chol libo v'chol moidahu medaber. If I accepted his Musar, it means he spoke with total sincerity. B'chol libo v'chol moidahu. And if I didn't accept his Musar, it means that he didn't. Which means that a person can say all the right words. Person can be a Rebbe. He can say all the right words. He can say all the right... But if he doesn't have total sincerity, total conviction, if he's only 99% sure that he's right, I'm not really convinced. I think this is right. Then the Talmud is not going to accept it. Even if he doesn't say maybe, he says it. He says it with conviction. He, you know, he said it, that, you know, I was sitting on the plane back, I had a little, I don't want to say that it's honest, but I was sitting on the plane from going back from New York to Florida, and there was a person there who was a recruiter for a yeshiva, not Chavetz Chaim yeshiva, and he was, you know, I was reading my sefer, and he was reading his sefer. His sefer was, it was in English, How to Influence People. Yeah, okay, if you're basically recruiting because you're reading a book, How to Influence People, I don't think it's going to influence people. You want to influence people, you got to mean it. That's how you influence people. It has to be 100% min alev. That's what the Sefer Yosha says. A Rebbe can only be successful if he's completely committed. If he that total commitment. So therefore, to get back to our original question. Why is it that the yeshiva feels that it's so important to make a haskara for Rav David? So I think the point, his answer is, because Rav David is our missing link. In other words, no one doubts, I don't have to make a yahrzeit shir for the Chafetz Chaim. Everyone knows the Chafetz Chaim is a Chafetz Chaim. And I don't have to make a yahrzeit shir for the Alter Sabaka. Everyone knows the Alter Sabaka is the Alter Sabaka. Every yeshiva in America comes from the Alter Sabaka. Maybe every yeshiva in the world to some extent. Rav David was a person who, the Maisa, most people didn't hear of in the world. I told the guys in my yeshiva today, Rav Moshe Chetzer Tzau, who was the Talmud of David, was so upset. There was no art scroll book. He says, there's no art scroll book, then no one ever heard of you. So Rav David was, no one heard of him. Not no one, but very people. Some people, as he did, but he's not as famous. Shorty cannot, you know, he's not as well known. So what would happen? So we don't know about Rav David. The problem is, if you don't know about Rav David, so then there's a certain gap in the Messiah. Okay, Rishiva is a brilliant person, Rishiva is a tzaddik, etc. Okay, but Shiva didn't learn from the Chavetz Chaim. He didn't learn from the Alter. He got through this person, Rav David. Okay? I don't know. So there's, in what we said before from the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that the only way to know that a Messiah is something, when a person teaches Torah, that it's 100% right, if there's no jumping in generation, right? Rav Shiva was a brilliant man, brilliant, one of the biggest world geniuses. And he figured out the best way to learn, and he figured out the best way to teach, and he figured out the best way in Musar. Okay, very good, he was brilliant. But how do I know? How do I know for sure that he was right? You know, seems to be other people seem to disagree. So maybe they're right. Okay, well, maybe Eidu V'Eidu. Okay, Eidu V'Eidu. How do I know it's Eidu V'Eidu? It can even be microscopic, but a certain lack of conviction. How do I know? I remember I asked Rashiva this question. How do I know? You want me to give my life? I really did ask Rashiva this question when I was a bacher. You want me to give my life for this derech? You want me to commit 15 years, 14 years in Beis Medrash, you want me to go out into Chinuch, you want me to pay to give my whole life for this derech. How do I know I'm in the right yeshiva? Maybe I should be in a different yeshiva. Maybe a different yeshiva is right. Right? Why in the world should I go ahead and give everything and then I'm not sure if I'm in the right place? And the truth is, if I'm not sure I'm in the right place, then I couldn't succeed anyway in being a rabbi. Because if I don't have a conviction of 100%, then no one's going to listen to me. That's what the Sefer Yosher says. If a Rebbe wants to go ahead and be successful, to mashpia on the Talmidim, it has to be b'chol liba, b'chol moida, b'chol nefesh. That's what he says. It has to be totality. You can't have a little suffix in your head. I'm not sure. You know, could be. Okay, it's probably right. 90%, 95%. Right? As he says that the hashpo has to be leiv. In order for the Rebbe to succeed, he has to be totally convinced. So how can I be totally convinced? The Gemara in Sanhedrin said that even if you have a raya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I got a mukhruch shmuz from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's not 100% convincing because it's shayach. Somewhere along the line, something happened, right? I don't know what happened, why the Rambam was a doctor and today we're not doctors. I know it sounds like a good riot, but for some reason it's wrong. So maybe, who knows? But so in order to go ahead and for us to be committed, and to the commitment that it's such a difference, that the difference being a person who's committed, not only being a Rebbe, as far as yourself, overcoming this shyness. Life is full and full of this shyness. That's the no matter what, your person has this shyness. And even if you don't have this shyness, if you want to be able to accomplish, you have to take on newness shyness. I remember I was by Rav Zuckerman. Rav Zuckerman was a very big tzaddik. He was a Talmud of Radin, and he knew the Rosh Hashiva. He knew Rav Trump from Europe. He knew the Rebbetzin, Rav Shiva's wife from Europe, because she was. You know, she went to visit him. He was an old Ron and Talmud. And he told me, I remember him saying, I said to Rav Davidche was there too, the amazing thing about the Rosh Hashiva, so the Shiva doesn't quit. He says, do you know how many times the Shiva had failure? You know, we don't hear. The Shiva started a yeshiva, he took over the yeshiva, and first of all, the Shiva was sick as a bacher. The Shiva told me that he heard the doctors pronounce him dead. He told me he heard the doctors pronounce him dead, and they basically covered him up, and they said he's dead, and that was the end. The Shiva was in the hospital for months as a bacher. I was in Eretz Yisrael. The Shiva was there. He came to visit. He had some medical condition, nothing so serious. He went to the hospital. The doctors took his medical history. They said, "We're not touching you. You go back to America. We're not going to treat you. You're too fragile." Yeah, the Shiva had a list of medical conditions from here. You know, there were so many different conditions. He had a blood condition, an ulcer condition, migraine headaches. He had everything. Shiva had his yeshiva was from 1940 till 1960. He was going, basically wasn't going anywhere. And then Rav Scheinberg left, took half the Bachrim with him. There was almost no yeshiva in 1960. The how many branches? You know, we look at the branches. There's so many branches. When I left yeshiva, one of my best friends told me, whatever you do, don't go to a branch. The branches is yeshiva's pipe dream. They'll never succeed. It's just aggravation. Because basically, in my day, almost every branch that was started flunked. So Rochester did not Bar Hashem, but it had its rough times. But after that, there was New Haven, was the amount of energy that went into New Haven, and there's a few different crews and everything. And then there was Phoenix. You know, Rabbi Winter and Rabbi Samba were in Phoenix, and then there was Dallas. No one even knows that there was a Dallas that folded before the Dallas. And then there was a Teaneck, and there was and I don't even remember all the branches, and San Diego, and there were so many branches. They were one folding after the other. They were just. And Rav Zuckerman said, he just doesn't. He folds one branch and he starts another. What kind of thing? Don't you quit? Don't you give up? You know, I tried. It was hard. I worked hard. I gave it all I got. It doesn't go. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I tried. What do you want from me? No, start again. So Zuckerman said he was misspoiled. Start again. Keep on starting. Keep on starting. He says that takes a certain gevura. You need conviction. You need 100% conviction. You need go back. We're supposed to talk about Rav David. Rav David, obviously. Rav David, first of all, starts in America. And then he has trouble in Torah V'Das. He leaves Torah V'Das, starts his own yeshiva in the middle of the Depression. in the middle of the Depression, it wasn't just it was in the middle of the Depression and there was no money. It was that there was no Bachrim. There was no feeder schools. There was, the cloud came out, no schools in America. There was only like two or three high schools. And the feeder schools that existed were against him because he didn't have a high school. He broke off from Torah V'das. Torah V'das was not going to send him any Bachrim. They were going to keep it. They made their own yeshiva. Right? They hired a different Rosh Yeshiva. So, you know, so if I would have been Rav David, I would have gone ahead and, okay, listen, the Baobatim are, you know, he had his machlaikas. So make peace with them. So compromise. Thinking it was so hard to compromise. You couldn't give. So you give in a little bit. They want you to go faster. So go a little faster, right? You know, so whatever it is, I don't know, whatever they wanted. Make a little, you know, make a little bit of accommodation so they won't, so you can keep the yeshiva going. But no, he stood up for what's saying. Oh, no, that's a tremendous, the person, the gevura. The gevura only comes in order to be, so in order to succeed in chinuch or in life, is you have to have 100% conviction. Even when you have 100% conviction, it's hard to succeed in life. But if you don't have 100% conviction, if you're wishy-washy, if you're maybe, if you think so, I think so, I'm not sure, but maybe, you know, you'll, first of all, you won't be able to push yourself. You won't be able to motivate yourself to take a gamble, to push, to do, and you surely won't be able to motivate Talmidim. So the essence of the yeshiva, the strength of the yeshiva, the strength that the Rosh Yeshiva had to be Meiser Nefesh, the strength that the Rosh Yeshiva gave over to his Talmidim, that there are Talmidim of the yeshiva. I don't include myself in that because I came here when this yeshiva was already established, but there are Talmidim that going out in the craziest places, there are tremendous Mesiris Nefesh, is because there's a certain conviction that they get from their Rebbe, and that it's part of it is because there's a Messiah. The Messiah, Dora, the knowledge that this Derech, that's what Rashiva told me when I forgot to say it. When I asked Rashiva, how do I know that this, to give my life for this yeshiva, he said, he's not saying any other place is wrong. Chas v'shalom. Rashiva was very careful. He did not speak, I don't say about no one, but most places he didn't speak about that they were wrong. He just said, you know for sure that this is right. It could be Edo v'Edo. It could be. But you know for sure it's right because there's a klar mitzayra. We're doing exactly the way there's a klar mitzayra, door after door. And I got approval from my Rebbe. My Rebbe appointed me to be Rosh Yeshiva. It's not just time. I went ahead and I opened up my own yeshiva. Right? I was appointed. And my Rebbe was, we know things about Rav David, that he was one of the closest. Rav David was offered to be the assistant Mashkiach of Salbaka. The altar offered him. He always tell this story. He was offered a shidduch with the Rosh Yeshiva's daughter of Salbaka. He turned it down because he was in the middle of already a different shidduch, but he was with the Vush Mordechai's daughter. He learned the Chavrusa with the Chafetz Chaim. So, you know, and each chain. So, we when you know that there's a chain of Gedolim, you start with the Gra, and the Gra of Rav Chaim V'Lozhin, Rav Chaim V'Lozhin of Zundo, and Rav Zundo, you know, and you go every generation, one after the other, and you know there's a direct chain, and you don't have to go back so far. Okay, I don't know who Rav Naftali's Rebbe was, Rav Chaim, but okay. But I don't have to go back after Rav Chaim. And you don't have to go back after the Chafetz Chaim either. Chafetz Chaim is good enough. The altar is good enough. So you know you have a chain, door after door, of people who were approved with a stamp of Askama from their Rebbe. And they were approved with the Hakbada. There was a Shita that you don't change. There was a Kveda. That was part of the Shita. The Shita is, we're not innovative. The Shita used to always say that, not a million times. He used to say, but he's so proud of the fact that he did not make any innovations. So that gives us a tremendous, tremendous chizik. So the reason why we're celebrating, if that's the right word, but commemorating Rav David's yahrzeit is because Rav David's yahrzeit is what gives us the chizik. It gives us the knowledge, the 100% conviction that we're following a Messiah of door after door, going straight to the Chafetz Chaim, to the Altar of Salbaka, to Ram Naftali, trap. And once you're there, then you don't need probably to know the Messiah, but if you want, you can probably figure it out. But there's a continuous door from Gedolim that this, and that, no one changing the door of Messiah in learning, a Messiah in Musar, a Messiah in Hashkafa. So, and that should give a person the strength and conviction to know that he's being taught Tyrus MS, and that can make all the difference in one's life to be able to face this Yainus, to overcome this Yainus, and even Be'ez Hashem, to become a Marbis Torah and to be Mashpia on his Talmidim.